that this physical life is a training and proving ground for eternal life. All have, right? Likewise, marriage is probably 60 to 70% of that training and proving ground, because with no other human being are you going to have such a close personal relationship. And here's what it's picturing. So keep this in mind. When things don't go exactly well, have God let you picture in your mind what it should be and strive toward that. For we are members of his very own body, of his very own flesh, through his crucifixion and all that it means. Didn't Jesus say we're bought with a price? We'll cover a little bit more of that this afternoon. And his bones, it says flesh and bones there in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. For in that is, the church is a special spiritual creation. For in the same manner as Adam's wife was created from one of his own, from his own rib, so also as a counterpart for Christ, the church is created from his innermost being. That's why we have the scriptures, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Close, intimate relationship spiritually with God the Father and Jesus Christ, correct? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So just as we work and develop in our marriage and love each other and love our children and all the ups and downs with them, see? And the reason that we have children is so God can fulfill his plan. And we are participating in his creation. And he is so great and marvelous that what has he done? He has made it so that you create your own children after your own image. Oh, he looks like his dad. Oh, she looks like her mother. Supposed to be, right? Yes. Isn't that terrific? You wouldn't want to have your children look like some whatever, would you? No. Isn't that something? And to ensure that there will be children, God gave sex and passion and emotions, and they will come, sometimes without expectation. And we are created as a counterpart for Christ. So then Paul writes, this mystery is great, immense, and supreme. Now stop and think about it. God did not create angels to marry or have offspring. They assist God in carrying out his work. We participate with God in his creation, in bringing forth children made in our image, after God's image, so that they can become, when they become grown and adult and so forth, become part of those who receive the Holy Spirit of God and are able to enter into the kingdom of God. So that's a tremendous thing. So the next time, and I know dads do not like poopy diapers, I don't. But the next time you're cleaning one of those and cleaning up your own child, just think of this. One day, this little squalling little child is going to have an opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God as a spirit being. And I had a part in bringing forth this child in helping God create his family. When you understand that, that'll help lift a lot of burdens, lift a lot of frustration. That doesn't mean that you don't have the teaching and discipline and love and all of this sort of thing with it. That all goes with it. This is a great, immense, and supreme mystery, for I am speaking concerning the relationship between Christ and the church, the bride of Christ, and their eternal destiny. However, let each one of you also be loving his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so when you're in the right relationship with God, you're not going to be carnal and want to, you know, impose the superior fist of authority. Continuing now, the Apostle Peter with his instructions. In the same way, the wives are to be submissive to their own husbands from your heart. Not from, well, I know God said so, so I'm going to, blah, 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 blah. No, from the heart. Now, you may have to pray about it. You may have to ask God to help change your heart. You may have to ask God to help change your attitude. Likewise with husbands loving their wives. What if she gets into a snitty attitude and you don't like it? Well, that'll happen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if it happened to you. I should ask, raise your hands if it hadn't, and I'm not going to ask it because no one would raise their hands. Okay? Now notice, from your heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Now this doesn't mean you make yourself a doormat. This doesn't mean that you don't have character. This doesn't mean that you don't have ability. You go back and read the Proverbs 31 woman. Hey, she had a lot of ability. A lot of skill, bought and sold property, traded the goods that she made and things like this. A lot of ability. But she didn't stand up and take her husband's place. And her husband said, look at my wife. Boy, she can do all these things. She's a wonderful wife. So there's the relationship. Continuing now. Thus did Sarah obey Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, you don't have to quite go that far, oh, my Lord and Master, so forth. Okay. And you have become her daughters if you do what is right. Now, you can read, I have a tape I did years ago. It's the human nature of Abraham and Sarah. They had their faults. Abraham had a deceitful streak. Remember, he comes to Abimelech and says, oh, my sister. Later on, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Well, I was afraid. Okay. Let's do what is right. Likewise, you husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. And I'll tell you that women are weaker vessels. That's just the way that it is. And I can verify it with the anointed claws that I send out. They run 5-1, women versus men. And that's why women should not be put into situations which brings extreme stress upon them. And that's what single motherhood does. It's difficult. Men's bodies are designed to take more stress, to work, to lift, to heave, to bang, to pound, to climb, to conquer, to fight, to war. All of those things. And yes, we're created differently. All you have to do sometime is just look at I noticed this with some of the soldiers, you know, that on the planes when you come down this way. And here they have this nice strong back, slim waist, strong arms, and then their girlfriend comes out to meet them, and wow, what a difference between the two, see. Yes. So just keep all of those things in mind. Okay, now notice this. in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, and grant her honor as fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So if you're not loving your wife in the way that you should, you may have some hindrance to your prayers. Do you want that? Of course not. Okay. Now, here is the marriage covenant. And you will be surprised how few words and how quickly it transpires that you make a decision for life. Let's read it. "We are here today in the presence of God, coming before his very throne in heaven above, and we are asking God to join you as husband and wife. Therefore, in accordance with the word of God, each of you should solemnly promise." And remember, what did God say? What did Christ say? "Let your yes be yes, and your no be no." So if you solemnly promise, you are bound before God. Solemnly promise before God in the presence of these witnesses to accept the sacred marriage covenant according to the conditions set forth and imposed by Almighty God as revealed in his holy word. Now, we're down to business. Do you, the groom's first name, enter into covenant with God because God created you and God created your wife? So it's with God. In the presence of these witnesses, because there always has to be a witness to the covenant, to take her, full name of your wife, to be your lawful wedded wife until death. See, now, when you make this covenant and you know that it is this way, you're not going to give yourself any wiggle room for unfaithfulness or duplicity anywhere down the rest of the of your married life. And it's good to go back and go over these words and make sure that you understand them, and you will grow in the understanding of these. To be your lawful wedded wife until death, and as the scriptures command, for better or for worse, in sickness or in health, in want or in wealth, to cleave unto her, to love her as Christ loves the church, to honor her, cherish her, and provide for her. You are the breadwinner. That doesn't mean that wives cannot undertake employment, but never do it to the detriment of the children. Okay? Now let's also understand something. Begins with the husband, then to the wife. Now then, do you, her first name, enter into covenant with God in the presence of these witnesses to take his full name, to be your lawful wedded husband until death, as the scriptures commanded. For better or for worse, in sickness or in health, in want or in wealth, and to submit yourself to him as unto the Lord in everything in the marriage estate, as the church does to Christ, and to honor and reverence him. And you are bound by two words: I do. Isn't that simple? Then we ask a special blessing and prayer on the marriage. So since we are asking God to join you as husband and wife, and don't look to the minister, don't look to the man, it is God. And praying for his binding and blessing of this covenant marriage, remember that, it is a covenant marriage. It is appropriate to follow the biblical example of laying on of hands to set you apart for this sacred covenant. So then to join hands, kneel down and pray. And weddings are my favorite thing. So that's what entails getting hitched. God created you. God wants you to marry. God wants you to have children. And you are in a covenant relationship with Him and with each other. So we'll end right here and we'll be ready for the food. So George, if you could lead us in closing song, prayer.